Welcome to a powerful encounter with the Word of God, brought to you by Eastwood Annabelle.
I'm going to be speaking on Satan and saviors. Satan and saviors. I want you to turn to somebody and tell the person, if you are a savior, Satan has an interest in your case. Now, this is one thing all saviors must understand, that the devil is very interested in their case. It is so sad that many people think the devil is an idea. In fact, even Christians think the devil is just an idea. They think he's just a theoretical representation of some myth just to frighten people. But I can tell you people, the devil is a reality. The devil is a reality. Satan is a reality. Paul the apostle, we can view him as a kind of a savior. And he was called to help or save different parts of the world, like the province of Macedonia. The province of Macedonia had many cities, including Thessalonica, Philippi, and Berea. One day, Paul had an encounter. And in that encounter, he saw a man from Macedonia saying, come over to Macedonia and help us. The Bible said that, and so were the churches established in the faith and increased in number daily. Verse number 6. Now when they had gone throughout Phrygia and the region of Galatia and were forbidden by the Holy Ghost to preach the word of God in Asia. I like that one. They were forbidden by the Holy Ghost to preach the word in Asia. That means preachers don't go just where they want to go. The Holy Ghost can stop you from preaching in some places. It's very interesting sometimes when churches invite a pastor to go and preach and he says, I cannot come. They are so angry. You know, they assume that the Holy Ghost cannot tell a pastor, don't go to this town, don't go to that city, don't go to that church, don't go to this place. And that is why if you are a man of God and you are too concerned about people being worried and angry that you said no to them, you will never achieve the purpose of God for your life. Because there are many people who want to get you into their space, and the Holy Ghost has no business with those people wanting you into their space. God told a certain prophet, he said, you are going to Bethel, but don't eat bread there. An old man told him, he said, I am also a prophet, come and eat bread. The man went and ate bread, he died. It's not everywhere you can go with the gospel. Listen to me, you are not a false seller. You can carry force everywhere, but not the gospel. The gospel is a very precious gospel. And God calculates where the gospel should go and where it shouldn't go. So they were forbidden of the Holy Ghost to preach the word of God in Asia. Verse number 7. And after they were come to Mysia, they essayed to go into Bithynia, but the Spirit again blocked it and did not allow them. Blocked it and did not allow them. Maybe a time will come when you are a senior pastor and people are inviting you to churches. Every invitation you receive, you pass it on to Prophet Livingston. Prophet Livingston, you guys pray about this for 1 week before I respond. And when they pray and finish, you say, Prophet Livingston, shall I go or shall I not go? And he will tell you, this one God said go. This one God said don't go. I don't know how many pastors, including Brother Eastwood, give their invitations to their prayer warriors to determine whether it is a right place to go or not. We just get up and go. We just get up and go. Or we just get up and we don't go. We just sit down and we don't go. Now, so the Holy Ghost suffered them not. Verse number 8. And they, passing through Mysia, came down to Troas, and in a vision. And a vision appeared to Paul in the night. There stood a man of Macedonia and prayed him, saying, come over to Macedonia and help us. Come over to Philippi. Come over to Athens. Come over to Berea. Come over to Macedonia. Come and help us. Come over to Thessalonica. Come over to Philippi. Come over to Berea. Come over to Athens. Come to this part of the world and help us. There are some of you under the sound of my voice. God is calling you to go to some places and help them. God is calling you to go to some places and save them. Come over to Macedonia and help us. Verse number 10. And after he had seen the vision, immediately we endeavored to go to Macedonia, assuredly gathering that the Lord had called us to preach the gospel unto them. So the man is carrying the gospel of salvation. And whenever Paul went to a place, something happened. Anywhere Paul went, something happened. Because the guy is a carrier of something. And I'll talk to you about only two things that man carried. Anywhere he went, he carried something. Number one, he carried preaching. Everybody say preaching. The man went and he carried preaching. And because of the preaching he carried, the devil will attack him at all costs. The Bible said in Acts 16, verse number 9, that a vision appeared to Paul in the night. There stood a man of Macedonia and prayed him, saying, come over to Macedonia and help us. It's very interesting when you hear people write social commentary. All these churches should be turned into factories. Turn all these churches into factories. Turn them into hospitals. Listen. People believe the gospel is not important. You know, sometimes I'm really amazed at the bravery of people. I keep telling people all the time, there is a certain thing, if you know it, you don't need to go to school to be wise. Any act of foolishness, stupidity, pride, carelessness, you see anybody exhibit, there is one lesson they've forgotten. That's why they are behaving like that. There is a certain professor, if he's your teacher, you will never be stupid, you will never be foolish, you will never be careless, you will never be reckless. There's a professor. When you see people behave stupid, foolish, presumptuous, careless, is because that professor is not their teacher. The name of that professor is death. Death, owo. Nipa bia wonu a onama ojimi nyina ni refi owo. When you see them talking some way, it's because they have forgotten something called death. When God planted the Garden of Eden, the professor he wanted to teach Adam and Eve not to be careless was death. He said, in the day that you eat this fruit, you will die. And when the devil appeared, one of the first words of the devil is, you shall not surely die. And up till today, those words, you shall not surely die, are still in the minds of people. Listen. The reason for your foolishness is you have forgotten you will die. All this your pride is because you've forgotten you will die. All this you're talking by heart, insulting people by. No, you've forgotten. One day you'll be in a coffin. Anybody who remembers he would die will never be stupid. I see anybody full of pride. Just walking about all these churches, all this preaching. The day you die, I guess at your funeral, a preacher will preach. All these pastors are useless people. You die, a useless man will put you in the grave. Where? Oba boy. One day's coming, you will die. You will die. The wages of sin is what? Death. You will die. And I know as I'm saying you die, somebody's shaking. That means you are dead, finished. Humble yourself because you will die. You will die. Nabal died. Come over to Macedonia and help us. We need help. And the help they are telling him to bring is not a factory. It's not a hospital. It's not come and build school. It's not come and do borehole. Whenever you are preaching and you do borehole, you pay children's school fees. The other day we received some money for a young boy here. You should see the people's comments. This is what ministry is all about. Helping the poor. Receive money. Take the poor. Hey, that's not my purpose. My purpose in life is not to pay children's school fees. My purpose in life is to preach the gospel. I'm a preacher. I am not a school fees payer. You can't even clap. You're not even proud of what God has called you to do. Listen, we are preachers. And I dare you. What the world needs today is not factories, buildings, houses, employment. I dare say hospital. What the world needs is Jesus, and they can get Jesus only through preaching. Preaching. Listen, digging boreholes can never replace preaching. Building hospital can never replace preaching. The best hospitals are in the places where people are dying and going to hell every day because they don't have Christ. So wherever Paul went, he carried preaching. Listen, the devil is very happy, pastor, for you to stop preaching and do other things. And when you are doing those other things, everybody's praising you. That is a ministry. Oh, they help the poor. These people, they dig boreholes. Ah, these people. If Bola is in front of your house, that church, they will come and carry it away right now. Anything you are doing in ministry and unbelievers are praising you, it means you have deviated. You can't clap. Huh? Mommy taking 106 children to school. Deviation. Boreholes 11. Deviation. What again do you do? Medical outreach. Deviation. Anything you are doing and the world is clapping is deviation. Woe unto you if all men speak well of you. The real thing is the one they hate, the gospel of the kingdom. Preaching. 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 When you finish preaching and you now take care of 100 children in school, borehole, then it's a good thing, because the borehole and the school fees is supposed to give you access to preach. But if you do borehole and finish and you don't do preaching, you've done nothing. So if you go to Big Boss and go and do borehole, 6 months later you must go to do Big Boss and do a crusade. Go there and do a crusade. Otherwise you are giving children water to drink and smoke weed. You are giving them water to bath and go to nightclub and disco. So you know what? Some of our social intervention, they are just empowering. What are they empowering? The devil's children. I remember somebody we looked after in school. Went to school and became a professional. By the time he got the professional degree, he was a drunkard. What have you trained? You have trained Dan Tolo. Am I preaching? Come over and help us. And the helping was not tent making. Helping, number one, preaching. Number two, power. Anywhere Paul went, power started flowing. The man was not VRA, but anywhere he went, he connected them to power.
Somebody shout power.
For I, brethren, when I came to you, I like that one. The first one said, come over to Macedonia and help us. This one now said, when I came to you. So Paul was a comer. And I pray that from today you'll be a comer. You will go to some places. Makatabayakaha. Come over to Macedonia and help us. The man was a comer. When I came to you, I came not with excellency of speech or of wisdom, declaring unto you the testimony of God. For I determined to know, not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ and him crucified. And I was with you in weakness and in fear and in much trembling. And my speech and my preaching was not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but by the demonstration of the Spirit and power. So he went with preaching, and he went with what? Power. He told the Romans, he said, Romans. I like the scripture in Romans. I just want to join Romans. He told the Romans. Romans chapter 1 verse 9. For God is my witness, whom I serve with my spirit in the gospel of his son, that without ceasing I make mention of you always in my prayers. Verse number 10. Making request. If by any means, now at the length, I might have a prosperous journey by the will of God to come unto you. Somebody said, but he's talking about Satan and the Savior. Where is Satan? Everybody say, come. Come, come, come. And when you come, you carry preaching and you carry power. So one of Satan's most powerful assignments is to stop you from coming. Anything he would do to stop you. Anything he would do to stop you. He will stop you from coming. 1 Thessalonians 2. But we, brethren, being absent from you for a short time in presence, not in heart, endeavored the more abundantly to see you, to see your face with great desire. Wherefore, we would have come unto you. Oh, we would have come. We wanted to come. Once and again, but Satan or Satanas hindered us. Satanas hindered us. Satan hindered us. We wanted to come, but Satan hindered us. Somebody wanted to come to Shepherd Summit. Satan hindered them. You prayed for people to attend this meeting. Satan hindered them. Somebody's listening to me right now at the sound of my voice. You live in Bogatanga, but you cannot come to this building. Why? Satan has hindered you. Satan has hindered. Kopto. That is the meaning of to hinder. That is the Greek word for hinder. And it means to cut into, to prevent, to hinder, impede progress. Let me keep this other one and get to that. You know, I wanted to find out that he hindered them. How did Satan hinder them? Paul was supposed to go to Thessalonica. The devil hindered him. He moved a mob which rose at Thessalonica to go to Berea. So Paul is in Berea. He wants to go to Thessalonica. They moved a mob from Thessalonica and they went to Berea and tormented the man of God. And the man of God contrary to his will. Instead of going to Thessalonica, the man of God went to Athens. Then he made another attempt. From Athens, he wanted to return to Thessalonica. But the Jews in Thessalonica rose up with doctrinal arguments. The Jews and the Stoics and the Epicurean philosophers, they rose up with arguments and they stopped the man of God from going. And he still said, I want to go to Thessalonica. Then some people, wicked people, laid in wait that they were going to kill him. So Paul did not go. He said, I wanted to come, but Satan hindered me. Now watch this. He didn't say the devil. He didn't say Lucifer. He said Satanas. And the meaning of Satan is the accuser. The number one thing Satan has used to stop the gospel and the power of God from reaching people is accusation from the tongue of the devil. But I came to declare to you, Pastor, that no weapon that is formed against you shall prosper. Listen, to stop you from preaching to people, all Satan has to do is to employ accusation. And before you start to witness, they say, that church did this. That pastor did this. That person did this. We know this Christian. That Christian did this. This one did that. But pastor, no weapon formed against you and your ministry shall prosper. And every tongue that rises against us in judgment, we condemn it. Listen, we are the distributors of the gospel. We are the distributors of preaching and of the power of God. It's like they are trying to take electricity to a town, and some people are blocking the electricity. I can tell you, all our cities and towns, there are blockers. And that word, hinder, to hinder. There's a lot of hindrance. And today, we pull down the hindrance and copto to cut into. So when we are bringing the word, Satan cuts into it. When we are bringing the word, he prevents it. When we are bringing the word, he impedes the progress. Oh, look at the impedance of the progress of God. The devil will just get up with accusations. And they bring up all the accusations. This church is all about money. These churches, they are all fornicators. These churches, they are all liars. These churches, they are all doing this. And these days, I hear people say, as for me, I want to serve God, but these churches, I'm not going to go there. Listen, all Satan has to do is to generate accusation. He doesn't use a bomb. He doesn't use a rifle. No AK-47. No knife. No cutlass. Accusation. And the devil knows that accusation is more powerful than nuclear bomb. So Paul normally said, the weapons of our warfare, they are not carnal, but they are mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations, and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every tongue to the obedience of Christ. Now watch this. This verse is not about two things. It is about one thing. No weapon formed against you shall prosper. And every tongue that rises against you in judgment, you will condemn it. It is not a verse about two things. Sometimes you think it's talking about two things. No weapon and every tongue. It's talking about only one thing. That no weapon, and that weapon is a tongue. No weapon, and that weapon is a tongue. Listen, Satan's most powerful tongue, Satan's most powerful weapon is the tongue. When he appeared in the Garden of Eden, it's his tongue he used. Has God said? He didn't appear in the Garden of Eden with witchcraft. Satan did not appear in the Garden of Eden, causing darkness in the whole garden. His tongue. Has God said? When Jesus appeared in the wilderness and the devil went to tempt him, everything was the tongue. Command the stone to become bread. Bow down, worship me. Jump, and the angels will keep charging. And Jesus will keep saying, it is written, it is written, it is written, it is written. Satan, it is written. Can I tell you this? Any church, any ministry, any man of God who does not know how to protect your ears from bola, you will not go anywhere in the kingdom. So normally Christians who are close to me, I tell them, when you go and hear somebody has insulted me or somebody has said nonsense, keep it. You are a bola. That is why they gave it to you. Stay as a baller alone. Don't come and tell me. I don't want to hear. You think if I was listening to all this nonsense, I'll be where I am? If you're a baller, remain a baller. And if they put the baller on you, don't collect it and throw it into my house. Stay off. My ears are designed for the word of God. My ears are meant for things that give me progress, things that make me go faster, things that make me stronger, things that energize me. Because you know what? I know I'm doing a good work. I know it is God that called me. I know I carried an anointing. I know I'm called to do something. If you went and sat with them and heard your baller things, keep it. You allow them to tell you to bother. And a lot of our churches are there which can achieve nothing. You know what? Pastors who train their congregation not to be carried about by slander and accusation and gossip, they are the most successful churches. But churches where the people are so weak and every careless thing moves them, they don't do well. Satan, now watch this. No weapon formed against us shall prosper. And every tongue that rises against us, there are not two weapons. It's one weapon, and that weapon is the tongue. He said, in judgment you condemn it. I pray, any tongue against your business, any tongue against your family, any tongue against your house, any tongue of the devil against your church and the way God has called you, any tongue against your life, we condemn it today in the name of Jesus. Come on, shout it.
I believe you've been blessed by this message. For further information, please visit www.eastwoodanaba.com. God bless you richly.